Join the meeting.
Everyone. I'd like to call the meeting to order. First item of business is again to inform everyone that in accordance with the governor's executive order regarding public meetings held via teleconference, the meeting will be recorded and posted on JESL's website within 7 days of the meeting. And again, it would be helpful when you have a comment or question to make, if you could identify yourself.
Join the meeting.
Prior to speaking. So with that, I will begin with a roll call and starting with board members. And as you heard Jeanette just say, for those of you that are not on video, just dialing in, please speak clearly so we can identify your name with a particular phone number for the minutes. So roll
call. Glenn Rybacki.
Join the meeting.
Roll call of board members to begin with. I'm Peter Lisi, and I'm obviously present. Ben Barnes, not yet. Marty Budd.
Here.
Andrew Foster.
Present.
Thank you. Daryl Hill.
Present.
Thank you, Daryl. Steve Kitowitz.
Present.
Thank you. Julie Savino.
Present.
Thank you. And Jeanette Weldon.
I'm here.
Thank you. JESL staff. Denise Aguilera.
Present.
Kevin Berry. No. Deb Galley.
Here.
Dan Junge.
Present.
I'm present. Sorry, my mic was muted.
Was that Kevin?
Kevin Berry.
Okay, yep. Kevin's present. Dan Junge, we heard from Josh Herlock.
I'm here.
Thank you. Carly Levin.
I'm present.
Thank you. Joanne Makowitz.
Here.
Thank you. Cynthia Peoples. Cynthia? No Cynthia yet. Okay. Shannon Reynolds.
Here.
Thank you, Shannon. Natalia Rosio?
I'm here.
And Kara Stewart?
Here.
Thank you. Now I'm going to call off the name of several corporations and organizations. If you're here representing them, could you please identify yourself? Bank of America?
Hi, Joe Santoro.
Thank you. Dave Pitney?
Judith Lane. And Namita Shaw.
And Glenn Ryback.
All right. Hilltop Securities.
Tim Webb is present.
All right. Pullman and Conley.
Oh, actually, I guess Judith and Glenn are technically now with Pullman. Until Friday, we were with Dave Pitney.
That's what I understood. I was a little confused at that roll call, but I appreciate you straightening it up, Judith.
You're not alone, Peter.
RBC Capital Markets.
Good morning. Jeff Wagner is here, and I have also Gary Wolf, Frank Harris. And
thank you. U.S. Bank.
Bill Karkowski is on.
Okay. And do we have anyone from the JESL Advisory Committee?
Yes, Matt Rosen from Naugatuck High School is here.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Is there anyone whose name I didn't call, anyone I missed?
Peter, it's Steve Elbaum. I know I'm a new board member.
Okay.
Jeanette, is that?
Hi, yes, so Steve is a member of the CHIFA board.
CHIFA.
But right. You're welcome to sit in on JESL.
Absolutely. Okay, with the roll call completed, first item of business is the approval of the January 21st minutes. Hopefully folks have taken some time to review them. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
So moved.
We've got a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
No, second.
Okay, we have a second. Are there any corrections or edits? corrections or edits to the minutes, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion for approval of minutes passes. The next order of business requires an executive session, and I'd like to ask for a motion to go into executive session to receive an attorney-client privilege communication regarding arbitrage rebate.
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? So for the record, those who will be staying in executive session are all the board members, Jeanette Weldon, Josh Herlock, Cynthia Peoples, if she's on now, Judith Blank, Glenn Rybacki, and Namita Shah. Those that have been identified will be directed to join the executive session breakout room, and all others will remain in the main room where they can stay until the meeting is reconvened. Reconvening the regular meeting of the Chesla Board. For the record, all board members have returned to the regular meeting and no votes were taken during the executive session.
Peter, I have a question, if I may.
Yes.
In light of the discussion in the minutes of our last meeting about the internal report on arbitrage, I was wondering whether Jeanette can tell us whether we've ever had an IRS audit of our arbitrage calculations on our bonds.
So yes, Chesla was selected for an IRS audit as part of an industry-wide audit review that was going on generally in the 2014 timeframe. And Chesla was selected for an audit. Information was provided to the IRS and they came back with a finding of no change, basically meaning no findings effectively.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jeanette. All right. Next item of business is appointment of bond counsel. Jeanette, would you like to walk us through that that memo?
Sure. So there is a memo, I believe it's page 13 in your board packet. And as is mentioned, I was informed earlier this month that Judith and Glenn were leaving Dave Pitney to join Pullman. As is stated there, Dave Pitney has served as Chesla's bond counsel for more than 20 years. I'm sure it probably could be closer to 30. Judith has been the primary representative during much of that time and brings a lot of institutional knowledge to Chesla. And so we think it's very important. It's very helpful and important to be able to look to that institutional knowledge when necessary, and we'd like to maintain that. And so for that reason, we are recommending that we move Chesla's bond counsel work with Judith to Pullman and Comley. Pullman and Comley did respond to the RFP that we conducted at the which was completed in March of last year. And we did provide in the board package a summary of the submission provided by Pullman and Comley as part of the overall summary of all RFP responses. And Pullman has also indicated that they will honor the compensation arrangement that has already been put in place. So that is the recommendation of management, is that we move the bond counsel work with Judith to be at Pullman and Comley.
As a former partner or the predecessor of Dave Pitney, I would like to abstain from any resolution adopting the recommendation.
Thank you, Marty. So this is an action item for the board. Thank you, Jeanette, for the summary. Hopefully folks have taken time to read the memorandum that's part of the board packet. Before there's any discussion, could we get a motion to accept board's recommendation on bond council?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Andrew, aye.
Andrew, second. So we have a motion and a second to accept staff's recommendation on changing bond council. Are there any questions, comments, discussion?
This is Daryl.
Have any? Daryl, go ahead.
Just one question on the compensation. Jeanette, you mentioned that the compensation was as established by the board. Is that the compensation from the Dave Pitney contract or the compensation as proposed by Pullman back last year?
No, that Pullman will honor the compensation as provided in the Dave Pitney agreement.
Wonderful, thank you.
Other questions? Comments? Okay, there's a motion and a second to accept staff's management's recommendation on bond council. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? And abstentions?
Marty Budd.
Marty Budd abstains. Thank you very much. The motion carries.
And if I could, Peter, I just wanted to, I believe Namita Shaw from Dave Pitney is still in the meeting. I just wanted to thank Dave Pitney for the work that they've done and the support that has been provided historically.
Thank you, Jeanette. It's very important. Okay. Next item of business. Josh, would you like us to walk us through the update for the scholarship manual?
Sure. Thank you, Peter. So if you could turn to page 22 in the board package, we have the update to the program manual, but I first would like to give some context. So Chesil has worked hard over the last 2 years to market the certificate program scholarships. We've also coordinated with Benny Weintraub from CHIFA to coordinate those marketing efforts through the workforce boards and the job resource centers. Despite those marketing efforts, the certificate scholarship volume has been quite low. This year, I believe we've only dispersed 7 certificate scholarships. Taking this into account, I reached out to the financial aid director for the CSCU system. I received some information that only 57% of students enrolled in a 4-credit certificate program filed the FAFSA this past year. So based on this information, we believe this is a barrier for the certificate program scholarships. And we are proposing to remove the expected family contribution EFC component from the certificate program scholarships only. And as you can see on the page here, this is section D, 3B. And as a result, we also have a resolution on page 16 asking the board to approve this scholarship program manual change.
I'm happy to move the resolution.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Julie. We've got a motion and a second. I believe the resolution should be on everyone's screen. If not, page 16 of the meeting materials. Any further questions for Josh? Any questions on the resolution? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting staff's recommendation on the update for the scholarship manual as presented in the meeting materials, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you. Passes unanimously. Well done, Josh. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. We have an appointment to the advisory board. Jeanette, you want to?
Actually, Josh is going to cover that item.
Oh, Josh, okay.
Yeah, I'll take care of this. Thank you, Peter. So on page 25 of the board package, we have a biography of Rich Bishop. And for the record, I would briefly like to read this bio. Rich Bishop served for 18 years as the director of financial aid at Central Connecticut State University. He has handled over $100 million in federal, state, and university funding. Rich has been involved in applying for and reporting on federal, state, and university funding allocations and expenditures. He has been employed at the University of Connecticut, University of Tennessee, Arizona State University, and University of Notre Dame in financial aid and systems work. Rich has also worked at Seton Hall University as the Director of Enrollment Management. He has degrees from Bentley University and the University of Notre Dame in accounting, management, computer science, and a master's in administration. I'd also like to say that I've known Rich for years through CAPFA, and I believe he would be a great asset to our advisory board. So CHESL would like the board to approve the appointment of Rich Bishop to the CHESL advisory board.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Who was the second, just for the record?
Steve.
Steve, thank you. All right, we have a motion. We have a second to accept staff's recommendation to appoint Rich Bishop to the CHESL Advisory Board. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the recommendation, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries. Okay, Carly, can you please cover the quarterly financial report?
Thank you very much. If you can please turn to page 29 of your board packet, I'll start with the agency's income statement. For the 6 months ending December 31st, 2020, revenues over expenses before non-operating income and expenses were $140,954. Revenues over expenses after non-operating income and expenses were $142,632. Total year-to-date revenues were $13 over budget, and total year-to-date expenses were $70,708 under budget. And this is due primarily to the consultancy, CHIFA support services, and the timing of some marketing invoices for the second quarter. Any questions regarding the agency? I'm going to move on to page 34 then in the board packet, and we'll take a look at the bond funds. The total change in net position for the 1990 resolution before the transfer is an increase of $239,388. And total change in net position after the transfer is an increase of $433,292. Regarding the total change in net position for the 2019 resolution, before the transfer is a decrease of $113,301. And primary reasons for the decrease are a decrease in the origination fees and interest income on loans receivable, and increase in the loan servicing fees and the bond issuance costs. Total change in net position after the transfer is a decrease of $307,204. And I did want to make note that a transfer that was done in the first quarter from the 2017 A revenue fund to the 2020 B debt service fund was transferred back during the second quarter, because the trustee should not have done that transfer to begin with, so it was corrected in the second quarter. Any questions regarding either of the bond funds?
Carly, could you just explain a little bit more that the transfer that shouldn't have been done, what was that, and it was reversed? Could you?
Yes. So what happened was the trustee transferred funds from the 1990 resolution to the 2019 resolution, and you can't transfer funds between resolutions.
Right.
So that transfer should not have been done, so they corrected it in the second quarter.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So lastly, on page 37 of your packet, we'll take a quick look at the other programs. First, the scholarship fund, the total change in that position was an increase of $272, and total change in that position for the non-bond refi program was an increase of $6,038. Any questions overall?
Yeah, it just occurred to me, going back to the operating account balance sheet. I see. No. I don't have a question. I just figured out what the answer was.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Any other questions or comments for Carly? Okay. Thank you, Carly.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a couple of updates under the executive director's report. Jeanette, Josh, Shannon, and Natalia. We'll start with Jeanette with an authority update.
Yes, so I wanted to lead off with a legislative update. And, there are a number of bills out there that relate to CHESLA, including two coming out of the governor's office. And so I would like to turn to Dan Gingy, who is the legislative liaison through CHIFA, who has been tracking and helping to move some of these things forward overall. So Dan.
Thanks, Jeanette. To touch on the two bills that are coming out of the governor's office, the first bill is Senate Bill 881. This is part of the governor's budget package, and this bill would essentially enable CHESLA to provide financing products for high-value certificate programs as determined by the Office of Workforce Strategy. This proposal has had a hearing, and it's currently awaiting action in the Higher Education Committee. The next step in the process would be a vote to send it to the floor of the Senate. Senate Bill 885 is...
And actually, Dan, can I just jump in to mention just with regard to that bill, it does also provide for the creation of a loan loss reserve account funded through state bond proceeds that would be available in connection with those loans, and it's a loan loss reserve or a loan funding account is, I believe, the way it's phrased. So just want to make mention that that's in there. And also the expectation is that this bill, even if it becomes effective, it's really not going to be operational until about a year from now, because that GO funding is not going to be put into the bond bill in this session. Is that correct? That's my understanding.
I think I can speak to that one.
Okay.
It's not, because there was a lot of yes, I had way too much involvement in this bill on the other end of this. There was quite a bit of confusion with those developing this policy as to what kinds of programs we would be giving loans for, and so the money for a loan.
You just went on mute, Steve.
Get a better handle on what kind of programs they're going to potentially ask us to do loans for. That would be a follow-on thing. And the creating doing this is it's been added. It's proposed to be added to CHESLA's authority, but it's a may, not a shall.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And Dan, do you want to go on to the other governor's bill? You're on mute, Dan.
Okay.
Thank you. The second bill that I'd like to touch on is Senate Bill 885. This bill is slated to have a hearing tomorrow before the Appropriations Committee. And the key change that this bill would bring about is the addition of a representative from the Office of Workforce Strategy to the CHESLA Board of Directors. The other two bills that I'd like to touch on are two of our legislative priorities. The first is Senate Bill 852. This bill contains various administrative items pertaining to CHESLA and CHIFA. One of the key points being that it would enable CHIFA to provide fund transfers to CHESLA. This bill was voted out of the Higher Education Committee with bipartisan support, and it's currently awaiting action in the Senate. The second bill that I'd like to touch on that's part of our legislative agenda is Senate Bill 932. And this is our Alliance District teacher loan subsidy proposal. Again, this was voted out of the Higher Education Committee with bipartisan support. There is a slight adjustment that we would need to make to the language that was voted out of committee, and we are currently working to coordinate that with the co-chairs of the Higher Education Committee before it comes to a vote on the Senate floor. Thank you.
So, and just to give a little more detail on, I believe it was 852, which is sort of combines a few different CHESLA and CHIFA initiatives. It also provides for, this is the bill that would provide for the ability to fund the SCARF with a letter of credit instead of bond proceeds. It also provides for increasing the max amount of CHESLA debt to be $500 million instead of $300 million. And I think, as I've mentioned before, that's really just positioning for the long term, because we're really nowhere near the $300 million. It also sort of generalizes the definition of education assistance so that it's not just narrowly defined as grants or loans. So we're just, again, positioning ourselves for whatever, you know, however the industry might evolve. So those are the other aspects of that. And then the 932, the Alliance District legislation, is what we had previously described in our board meetings as the minority teacher recruitment proposal. And so the bill was broadened to reference teachers agreeing to work in Alliance school districts, but we will work with SDE. CHESLA and SDE are written into the bill as developing the eligibility criteria, and so that would include the ability to offer this loan rate subsidy to teachers of color.
Jeanette, one thing that was also mentioned is the authority for CHIFA to transfer money to CHESLA. We already have about $3 million, a little more, in the CHESLA account, operating account. What do you see? What are your plans for using any of that? Plus, why would you want the authority to transfer even more money to CHESLA from CHIFA?
So there are no plans to transfer money from CHIFA to CHESLA. It's really being proposed as a matter of consistency, because right now the CHIFA statute is written to say CHIFA can transfer money to any subsidiary that it has created. So, you know, CHESLA was technically not a subsidiary created by CHIFA. It was already existing and it was assigned to CHIFA by statute. So we're just cleaning that up to say CHIFA can transfer money to any subsidiary, whether it's one it created or whether it's one it, you know, acquired through other means. So there are no, you know, we have no you know, plans of, oh, we have X dollar amount that we want Chifa to transfer or anything of that sort. It's really long-term future reference and maintaining consistency.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions on legislative update? Okay. Jeanette, did you have anything else or do we move on to Josh?
And then I did want to mention next week, April 1st, we have our strategic planning retreat session, and this is going to be from 8:30 until noon. It will be a combined session of the Chifa and the CHESLA board. The last time we did that was 3 years ago when we did the when we were doing the current strategic plan. I think it's a great opportunity for interaction between the two boards and just some fresh perspective and ideas to come forth. So we have some guest speakers who will be providing some industry outlook commentary. We'll be having breakout sessions and, you know, interactive components. So I'm hoping that everyone will be able to attend and it should be a very worthwhile session. So that's next week, April 1st.
Will you circulate an agenda and any other materials?
Yes, that will be provided. And last thing I wanted to mention is that I am also recently have been elected to the board of the Education Finance Council. So that's CHESLA's trade association. EFC, as some of you may know, is very involved in monitoring industry trends and legislation. And it's a great opportunity to have input and represent CHESLA on that level.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jeanette. Mm-hmm. Okay, Josh, do you want to hit the highlights on the portfolio update, please?
Sure. Thanks, Peter. So I'd like to start on page 41 of the board package. For the second quarter, the CHESLA in-school loan program dispersed $1.9 million. The funds were comprised of about $931,000 dispersed to students attending Connecticut institutions and about $1 million dispersed to students attending non-Connecticut institutions. So overall, we saw a bounce back in quarter two compared to fiscal year 2020. In total, through the second quarter, we're down about 24%. I would also like to mention that we did downsize our 2020 bond deal by about 28%. So we were right on target with the expected drop in disbursements. Moving on to page 43, I just wanted to touch on the market segment data for the Connecticut schools. We see it's basically status quo at the top, with the top three being Sacred Heart, UConn, and Quinnipiac. However, I did want to note that Sacred Heart is leading by a solid margin. Moving on to page 44, we have the in-school 2020B comparison to cash flow assumptions. I wanted to state here that we worked to update the cash flows with our financial advisor in January to update the cash flows so that they matched the actual disbursements that occurred through December. And based on these updates, there is no threat of a draw on the SCARF. But you can also see through February that based on these updates, we are now actually ahead of the updated cash flows by about $650,000 for the in-school program. On page 45, we have the cash flow comparison for the 2019A refi CT proceeds. Again, like with the in-school, these cash flows were updated In January, there's no threat of a draw on the scarf. And as you can see, with the updated cash flows, the 2019A proceeds are about $242,000 ahead of the cash flow assumptions. So we are in good shape from a cash flow perspective. Moving on to page 46, we have the refi CT disbursements. The refi CT disbursements are still quite slow, in large part due to the federal COVID benefits being still in place through September of 2021. We continue to market the refi program and specifically the refinancing of private loans in the hopes of jumpstarting these refinance disbursements. Moving on to page 50, we have our performance dashboard, and I wanted to touch on the servicing performance of UIS. They missed the mark in November and December for average speed of answer, and the call abandon rate was also quite high in December. In speaking to UAS, the call volume was almost double the normal call volume in December, and this was due to an increase in questions related to COVID and COVID forbearances. As always, we will keep an eye on these metrics with UAS and make sure these metrics are right and moving forward.
I had a question on that page. UAS is our current servicer, right?
That is correct.
Right. In the upper left-hand column, no, this is on the previous, well, maybe it's on the top of that page. I didn't understand. It says contract form submissions program breakdown. Can you explain what that is to me?
Certainly, Marty. So that's individuals that have contacted CHESL through the CHESL website, through the contact form on our site. And I'm just showing you there the breakdown of the inquiries we received between the in-school program, Refi CT, and scholarship. You will note in October, I have a couple of halves there. You may ask, well, how could somebody have half a submission? But basically, if somebody inquired about, the in-school loan program and scholarship at the same time, I kind of broke it up between half a submission.
All right, but the numbers are low. Like in December, there were only seven student loans, right?
You know, well, this is only people contacting us through our website, so it's normally a small population anyways. We still have people calling in through our main line and whatnot. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about it.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Do you have any questions on the UAS performance, Marty, before I move on?
No, it's crappy, but you tried to explain why.
Yes, like I said, I'll keep my eyes on them moving forward. And then I wanted to turn to page 51 and 52. 51, we have the campus door performance for the second quarter for an in-school program. Campus door met the metrics with ease for in-school, as you can see here. And then on page 52, campus door also met the metrics for refi through quarter two. So we've been happy with the performance of campus door.
Campus door is the originator, and UAS is a servicer, is that correct?
Yes, sir, you are correct. And so that's the end of my update. Are there any further questions before we move on? All right, thank you all.
If we can go to page 54. I'm just going to do a brief overview of CHESL marketing.
and outreach that we're doing. Overall, you know, still being in a pandemic, our goal is to just continue to raise awareness on the CHESLA programs and increase loan volume. So from October to the end of February, we had over 10,000 new users to the website, and over 24,000 page views. And consistently over 80% of our online traffic comes from organic searches. Basically, that means, in summary, that our brand awareness is increasing and people are kind of searching for CHESLA by themselves. Over 15,000 sessions, just them interacting with our website. And the top referrals come from Facebook, CT Dollars and Cents, Connecticut Office of Higher Education, CT Scholarships, and ConnecticutTeach.org. Does anybody have any questions on this slide?
Shannon, I'll just say though that I realize we're looking at very different time periods, but your second bullet here, over 10,000 new users, but then you go back to what Josh said earlier and in response to Marty's question about the number of contacts that came into the website were incredibly low. Yet this would suggest there's a whole bunch of people visiting the website. It just seems, and I realize they're very different time periods.
In regards to people actually using the contact form, sometimes someone can come on and just get the information they need. Sometimes they come on and click directly to apply, which takes them to campus door for an application. Okay. So it's kind of like, depends on what they're coming for the site for. They might not be contacting us via the site. They might just call because the number is really everywhere on our website, or they might be directed somewhere else.
Okay.
So the contact form is just if someone has a question and they want to contact CHESLA with their specific question. It's not referring to who made contact with the site.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Shannon.
No problem. So we can go to the next slide. So obviously CHESLA is kind of growing and what we're offering with the employer repayment program and things like that. So we're expanding the suite of programs for CHESLA. So we are offering more and showing more on our social media platforms and our marketing. I know Josh can speak to the TV, but we did have a takeover on Fox News, which is a day after the election, and that received a lot of exposure for CHESLA. We got a lot of calls and feedback in regards to seeing that and traffic to our website. Josh, did you want to touch base on the TV?
Yeah, I'll just touch briefly on the TV. Basically, what we're trying to do is increase CHESLA exposure in high profile events, especially sporting events, at a very cost effective rate. I would also note that we had a spot run this past weekend, Saturday night, during the UConn men's basketball March Madness tournament game. So again, just really trying to get CHESLA out there in these high profile events at very cost effective rates to the authority.
Right. We also presented at the annual CAPFRA conference and talking about private student loan and refinancing private student loans, which was well-received. We contacted graduate programs, information on the graduate student loans and refinancing student loans. And you can go to the next slide, I'm sorry. We also continued our virtual outreach. We usually kind of start back up around this time as well. And we had one presentation thus far on March 8th at Cheshire High School, where we had over 80 parents and students participate in the Q&A session with Natalia and myself. It went really well. A lot of people had a lot of questions, wide variety from financial aid to student loans. So it's really engaging. I just will say overall, the CHESLA brand, even though we might not have like direct student loan to website traffic and be able to trace it, we want people to just have it at the top of their mind. So when they actually are ready to do student loans, when they're actually looking for that, they know that CHESLA is a place to go. And I think that we're going in the right direction. Does anybody have any questions? No. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. And Natalia.
Hi, everyone. So mine is pretty quick. For the certificate scholarship, so far we've awarded a total of $12,500 to 10 recipients. Although it is low, with the EFC requirement getting eliminated through today's meeting, we hope to see that number increase. And then for the undergraduate scholarship, that opened this month on March 1st. So far, we have over 350 applications started and 21 submitted. And that will close on May 1st. So we expect to have many more applications rolling in. Comparing to last year, it's pretty similar. It kind of starts slow in the beginning, and then by the end, we get 1,000. So nothing to worry about there. Does anyone have any questions?
No. Any questions for Natalia?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, I think that pretty much completes the agenda for the CHESLA meeting. Is there any other business anyone would like to bring forward? Any business? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll move.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? The meeting is adjourned and